This is the Full Frontal Living Podcast. I'm your host, master coach, and emotional resiliency expert, Lisa Carpenter. I'm here to be your guide through real, raw conversations, navigating life as a high achiever. This show covers what it takes to create physical and emotional well-being, along with how to honor and partner with your body. I'm here to guide you to a connected relationship with yourself, turning self-care into a way of being and not just another task on your to-do list. After all, the things we love, we take care of. This podcast gives you permission to love what you do, but love yourself more. Welcome to the Full Frontal Living Podcast. Welcome to another Monday, my dear listener. I am so grateful that you are here. We just closed the doors to my signature transformational program, my 30-day program, Weight Loss From Within, this past week. And I'm very excited to kick off this new group for the next 30 days. And I'm sure I will be sharing more on the podcast about some of the transformations that I'm seeing inside that group, because I know so many of you are going to benefit from some of the stories that are coming up in there. And today I'm really excited because one of the participants who introduced herself in the group said that, you know, she's got a lot on her plate. Like, she's juggling a lot of balls. And I said, this is a big part of why you're struggling to take better care of yourself and make your physical and emotional well-being a priority. And she responded with, does that ever really change? How you deal with the loads on the plate, or can you? And I thought that this would be an amazing topic to dive into. I love that the people I work with are constantly inspiring me to speak about these things, because in my life, slowing down has really become second nature. But I do understand that for most of the clients that I'm working with, it's not, especially when we're learning how to respond to life's challenges, and then also taking responsibility for the fact that we create a lot of the challenges or drama and things that are going on in our lives, and we can look at our lives through a different lens. So what I find really interesting is through conversations with multiple clients, and even for many listeners of the podcast, one of the things that I've heard a lot is, you know, I don't really resonate with this high achiever. Lisa, this woman that you're talking about is a high achiever. I don't really resonate with that. And I wanted to start here because the definition of a high achiever is someone who is hardworking and successful. And that describes almost all of the women I work with. But here's where we get into the weeds, because looking back, if I look back on myself over the past years, I would not necessarily have identified with a high achiever either. And here's why that is, because I didn't believe I was successful yet. I didn't believe I was there yet. And so many of my clients have done phenomenal things in this world. They're juggling a gazillion balls. Like, hard working is not a problem. Like, they know how to get things done. They are high functioning, over functioning women who definitely work hard. But it doesn't matter what they do or what they've accomplished or how many wins they've had. One, they don't know how to celebrate the wins. And two, they never feel like those wins are good enough. And if you're nodding along, you know, I believe I shared in a previous episode that it wasn't until I moved my business home and I took out all the certifications that I'd taken during, you know, my years of growing my business and growing my practice. And I actually took them out of the envelopes. Yes, they were still in the envelopes because I was like, oh, it's still not good enough. Oh, it's not enough. This was all unconscious. But I laid them all out in front of me and thought, oh my goodness, I have done so much. I've done so much. But success, this feeling of success, or that I was there, I could claim success, just never felt real to me. I never felt like it was good enough yet. Didn't matter that I'd written multiple courses. Didn't matter that I'd run more than one of my own personal training studios and, you know, work through the everything that goes into building a bricks and mortar business. Didn't matter that I'd moved my business online. didn't matter that I had all these certifications or that I'd written a book. I was not allowing myself to feel successful. And because I didn't allow myself to feel successful, I struggled with identifying as a high achiever because I thought a high achiever was somebody different than me, but it wasn't. And you're probably listening thinking, oh my, look at all the things I've done in my life. Because let me tell you, if you're juggling kids as well, you are a high achieving woman. If you're juggling kids and running a business or going to work and doing all the things and managing the teams, you are a high achieving woman. Okay, it's amazing how we normalize things in our lives that to other humans are not normal. Okay, not everybody is a high achiever. I remember once I had a client and we were in the gym. And for me, you know, if my coach says to me, give me two more reps, my problem was I would give five more. And then I wonder why I ended up burning myself out. But that's another, I'll get into that as well. And then this client looked at me and she's like, why? Why do I need to do two more? And I'm like, well, because I asked you to do two more. That's what I want you to do. She's like, but you know what? This is good enough. I don't think I need to do two more. So I was gobsmacked because this is what high achievers and driven, ambitious women, we look for. We're always like the opportunity to do a little bit more. We're going to push a little bit harder. We're going to find a way. And this is what I mean around we've normalized this because there are people out there that are like, I don't need to do two more. This is good enough. So I'm not saying high achieving people are right over people who are like, this is good enough. I think that the people that are working from the place of this is good enough maybe need to like light a fire under their butt. And then the people who are constantly running from the fire under their butt need to learn how to douse the flames and do less better. Okay, so there isn't a winning strategy here. Everything in life is just a matter of our interpretation. And we have to take a step back and look at where am I not allowing myself to feel successful because I feel like I'm not there yet. So I'm just going to take a sip of my water here. And you guys know I don't send this off to editing. It's just real life here on the Full Frontal Living podcast. So after years of being this high achieving, driven woman who was working from this place, if I'm being completely honest, this drive and ambition of mine was all about not feeling good enough. The next thing, if I do this next thing, if I accomplish this next thing, then I'll feel good enough. That pushing and striving energy really robbed me of my health. I ended up in a place of adrenal fatigue. So this was probably about 7 years ago now, because it's been over 8 years since my hubby went into addiction recovery. And it was probably 6-8 months after he came home that, you know, it was kind of like, I'm sure many of you will resonate with this. You're so busy doing stuff. You go on vacation, your body slows down, and all of a sudden you get sick. When he came back from rehab and, you know, we were trying to find this kind of normal life, that's when my body was like, I'm done. I am done. And I had adrenal fatigue, and I've got a previous episode that I can link to about the symptoms of adrenal fatigue. But basically, I was really forced to slow down. And so much of my identity was tied up in my doing that this was emotionally hard for me to not be able to go and work out, to, you know, I was getting dizzy rolling over in my bed. When I was given the green light to work out, it was about, Lisa, just because you can lift 25 pounds doesn't mean you should. Like, pick up the 20 and stop making it mean something, right? Stop trying to keep up with the guys in the room. Like, I might be strong, but what am I trying to prove here? I really had to redefine how much of my personal value and worth I'd put on my doing, and how much of my personal value and worth I was attaching to my achievements. So even working 24/7 in my business, right, trying to get there, which, you know, I woke up last year and realized, wow, there really is no there. It's how can I just enjoy this ride more and just keep going and have fun in my life and claim what I want. So I want you to really step back and look at how much you're doing is connected to your worthiness. Because when I had to look at all the things that I was doing in a day for other people and running my life, when I thought about not doing those things, I felt very empty. So here I was talking about slowing down and connecting more in with myself, but then I didn't know who I was if I wasn't running the family and the strongest in the gym and, you know, working my tail off in my business. I didn't know what my identity was. My identity was so tied up in my doing. How was I going to be important? How was I going to feel worthy if I wasn't taking on all the tasks and all the demands of my family? How would I feel important? Would I feel loved? Would I feel valuable? And this was first triggered for me when I made my trip over to the rehab facility. They run a program for families, and I went over there to learn how to, you know, support my addict, only to find out that it was really about getting my own ass handed to me and taking responsibility for my role in the relationship. That was fun. But I remember going toe to toe with my counselor at the time, because I said, you know, I need to go home. I've got all this grocery shopping to do. I've got to prepare meals. I've got to make sure everybody is organized before I leave. And he said, no, you don't need to do anything. You just need to get on the ferry. And I remember really getting in his face, because that's my, when I'm triggered, I typically go to a more of a fight stance. So some people freeze, some people isolate, some people run away. It's called the fight, flight, or freeze response, because that's what happens. We all have a way of responding or reacting in life. I typically am a fighter. I now know that when I feel like I need to prove my point, that I need to step back and look at my own garbage. I'm human just like all of you. But I really wanted to fight for this, the fact that I needed to take care of my family before I went away. This was my jam. I mean, food was my jam back then. This was all I talked about was nutrition. And I wanted to make sure that they were healthy. And he said, well, Lisa, what do you think is going to happen if you go away and you don't take care of this? Do you trust your partner to take care of this? And I was like, I guess so, but it's not what he does. And he's like, well, will they die from eating pizza? I mean, really, if they ate pizza the whole time were you away, would they die? And I was like, no, but I don't want them eating pizza, right? Arms folded across me, and I want them to eat healthy, and this matters, their health matters, right? Really fighting for my limitations. And again, I left there and I thought, okay, you know what? What is this about? And you can see how important it was that I held on to that role of caretaking my family, making sure they were healthy. That's what made me important. That's what made them love me. But that's not what makes me important in my family. And that's not what makes my kids or my husband love me. It's who I am. It's who I'm being. So I want you to look at, if you're stuck in this place of there's always so many things on my plate, who would you be? How would you feel good enough? How would you feel loved if you weren't doing those things? Because at the end of the day, you are the one perpetuating all you're doing. And slowing down and doing less and reclaiming the connection with yourself and your physical and emotional well-being means that you have to be willing to put yourself first. You have to be less invested in your doing and more invested in your being, right? It's what kind of relationship do you want with yourself? So I wanted to kind of, you know, walk you through this a little bit and give you some questions for you to reflect on, because I really want this podcast, you know, I want to come on here and share in real time how things are going down in my life, but it's not about me. This podcast I started for you. I want you to be able to listen and look at your life through a different lens. I'm here to disrupt your current status quo and open you up to what's possible. Because when I had my status quo changed, everything in my life has changed. I could do a recap on the past 8 years of my life. It is not the same as it was before, you know, kind of everything unraveled. So I want you to look at where you, so the common complaint I hear is I've got all these things to do and I don't have time. So I'm going to start here. If you've been following along on the podcast, you know that on April 4th, I'm going back up on stage. I'm doing a, you know, quote unquote bodybuilding contest. It's called Fitness for Women, but really it's the art and science of bodybuilding. Now, just so I'm clear, what I do to create the physique that I'm bringing on stage is not the same as what you need to do to create weight loss. Okay, there's a difference between the sport of bodybuilding and actually wanting to lose weight. So when I give you this number about how much time I'm going in the gym, I don't want you to think, oh my God, I have to do that if I want to be able to lose weight and feel great in my body. Not the truth. Okay, so do not pick up that story. This is for a very specific goal, for a very specific look. And when I come off stage, I will not be spending this much time in the gym. This is just part of the process now. It's very much like when you start a business. I was just talking to a client about this. When you start a business, there's this period of like you really need to do a lot of things to get up the momentum, to get that plane off the ground. And then that plane needs to climb until it reaches cruising altitude. And then you can kind of, you know, take your foot off of the gas. This is the same thing that I'm talking about in your life. How long have you had your foot on the gas? And where can we like level you out and start letting go of things? So I'm currently spending about 3 hours, including transit time, in the gym every day between my weight workouts and the cardio that I need to get done in order to bring what I want to bring on stage. This is under the guidance of my coach. I'm not making this up on my own, and I'm in constant communication with her around how I'm feeling and what's working and what's not working. So I am not going solo, just winging this. I am being guided with this. Now, I didn't magically just find 3 hours in my day. Okay, that didn't happen. Now, I always have had about an hour and a half to be at the gym. That's just part of my routine and habits in the morning. I get up, I go to the gym, I come home, start my day. But when you start pushing 3 hours in the gym every day, I had to figure out how I was going to make that work. Because in order for me to be successful at this, and because of the work I've done on myself over the years, I'm no longer prepared to put more on my plate. I'm no longer available to juggle more balls. So if I'm going to say yes to something, and I've talked about this in previous episodes, I have to start saying no to other things. So I had to go into my schedule and look at what needs to come off my schedule in order to make this happen. Now, I understand you're not listening to this podcast going, wow, how can I find 3 hours to go to the gym? But you might be thinking, God, how can I find an hour to go to the gym and eat healthier? Where can I find that time? Lisa, I don't have the time. And this is where I call BS, because things that are important, we find time for. We will make the time for it. But what I'm challenging you to do is to not just add something to your plate, but look at taking an inventory of your life and being honest about what you can take off your plate. So look at where in your life are you creating your own challenges and struggles because of what you get out of having those challenges and struggles, right? Driving the kids all over the place and having to connect with, you know, maybe you have to get on the phone and talk to a certain number of people. What kind of curveballs are you constantly trying to avoid? Are you actually present on a day-to-day basis, or are you spending a lot of your time in the future trying to do things today so that you don't have to deal with things tomorrow? Because that is a huge time suck. So I want you to really look at your schedule and say, what on my schedule here could I delegate or delete? Delegate or delete. Because if you've got kids going to hockey or badminton or gymnastics, unless they're doing private lessons, there's other children there, which means there's other parents driving. Where can you ask for help and support? Because this is the problem of high achieving women. We get so in the box of like, we just do the things, we overfunction. that we forget that we can ask for help and that it's not weak for us to ask for help. And I want you to really look at that. Are you kind of wearing this, I can do all the things, as a badge of honor without even realizing you're wearing it as a badge of honor? Because I know I did. Look at me, I can drive stick shift while being hooked up to my breast pump on the way to see my baby after being at a speaking engagement, having only given birth, you know, 6 weeks ago. True story. True story. And I really thought, like, look at me, I'm so awesome that I can do all this stuff. And now I look back on that, I'm like, that's crazy. Now, can you imagine if I'd gotten into an accident? How would you explain that? That my boob is hooked up to my breast pump, that is plugged into my cigarette lighter while I'm driving my manual transmission car. It's crazy. This is what I mean about we normalize stuff that is not normal, okay? So I want you to look at what is on your schedule right now. What are you catastrophizing for the future? And how much of your personal value is attached to your doing? Because it's not the doing that's getting in the way. It's the meaning that you're giving to the doing. The value you're attaching to the doing, your personal worth that you need to take a look at. If I wasn't doing these things, how would I feel? Where would I fit in? Because we can say till we're blue in the face that we want all this extra time. When my clients start to create that space, they can start to feel anxious that now they have space because holy crap, now they actually have to connect with themselves. They have to get present. And they have to be important in their own lives. They actually now have time to spend time with themselves. That's uncomfortable when you've spent your whole life trying to avoid being with yourself. So this is where I want you to start. I was just looking at my notes to see. Because if you want your life to be lighter, if you want to have more space and time for yourself, you've got to stop telling yourself the story of, you know, when this happens, then, right? The when then story. It's very similar to weight loss, right? When I lose 20 pounds, then I'll feel happy. When I have $10,000 in the bank, then I get to go on vacation, right? The when then. When my kids are older, then I'll have free time for myself. No, you won't. You won't, because now you'll just start caretaking other things, or all of a sudden you'll find yourself volunteering everywhere and filling your time. So you have to take a step back and look at what are the things that I keep telling myself are a priority? How do I want to treat myself? How do I want to nurture the relationship with myself? And where can I take responsibility for letting go of other things? This competition is important to me, right? This is about me pushing my edges. This is about me growing myself. This is about me sinking back into my drive and ambition and embracing my discipline, not from a place of not feeling good enough, but as I've said on previous podcasts, from a place of possibility. But also, how much more can I open up my schedule? So some of the things that I've done on my end to create space, normally on Mondays and Fridays, those are kind of content creation days, wildcard days for me. So I'm not multitasking clients. I'm just working on my business, the things that make my business run, whether it's recording podcast episodes or writing, social media, being in my groups, whatever that may be. What I've done is I've actually spread out my clients. So now I have some clients on Monday and Friday because I would rather have less clients clustered together so that I can show up fully for everybody and also create space every single day. So if I need to go back to the gym, I can go back to the gym. I've also taken interviews off my plates. I am no longer accepting long-term one-to-one clients until later on in this process. So if you're not already booked on my calendar, you can get on for an individual session, but to work with me for an extended amount of time, that won't happen until after April. So if that's something that you know that you want, if I'm on your wish list, you want to make sure that you get on my calendar for an individual call, because we won't even be able to start our long-term work together until after April. Because I have to stay committed to the people I've already committed to and make my family a priority. all social engagements are off my calendar. So I'm saying no to pretty much everything right now, because I need to make sure that there's space for me to get lots of rest, to take naps if I need to. That's a priority. To make sure that I've got time to get my food prepped and organized and everything is running tickety-boo in my business. I've also asked my team to support me, and I'm going to be handing more things off for them to take care of so that I don't have to do it myself. I've also sat down with my husband and had a conversation with him about how he can best support me, whether it's with school pickups or just knowing that, you know, this is what my weekends are going to look like. Asking for more help. That's a big, huge part of this for me in terms of creating space. So hopefully this helps. I want you to really, you know, take an inventory of your time on a daily basis. You know, how much time are you really spending scrolling social media mindlessly? If you're staying up late at night because that's the only time you get for you, but then you're waking up exhausted because you've stayed up too late, are you really doing yourself any favors? Because, you know, I'm going to do another episode around HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I want to really dive into, you know, the impact that living in that space is having on your day-to-day life, because this is what I'm navigating right now on a day-to-day basis. And I know that most of my listeners live in a place of HALT 24/7, and that is no way to live. And that is 100% you being responsible for you and what you need to thrive. Because as far as I know, none of you are on contest prep. So there is no reason why you should be hungry, why you shouldn't be getting enough rest, and why you shouldn't be, you know, emotionally tuned into what's going on for you. You want to know where most of my energy goes these days? It's making sure that I am feeling good about myself. Because when you're tired and hungry, your brain is not super kind. Like, that's when the negative self-talk can come into play. And most of you are living in that place. So you got to set yourself up to win. You got to take responsibility for these things. So that's where I wanted to end today. I want you to take a time inventory. What are you actually spending your time on? Get yourself out of self-deception, believing that you have no time, because I guarantee you the time is there. If you are valuing and making you a priority, the time is there. And if there's no time for you, that shows you that you are not actually willing to value yourself and that you are making excuses as to why you need to be so busy, right? So I want you to look at the value you are getting out of being so busy and stuck in the doing, because I guarantee you the doing is not about the doing. It's about the payoff that you get from being busy and being stuck in the doing. And I am here to help you connect deeply into yourself, because that is when you step into this extraordinary life where your physical and your emotional well-being becomes your priority, and you can actually enjoy your life and feel amazing and have the things you want, and life will just open up for you. We are all here to thrive. We're not here on this planet to struggle and just survive and get by. That is not living. And considering yesterday we lost an icon and his daughter, I want to remind everybody listening that tomorrow isn't promised to you. And at the end of the day, if you were to leave this planet, nobody gives a crap about what weight you are on the scale. So, ladies, we have to start taking responsibility for how we're thinking and feeling about ourselves. We have to make time to make ourselves a priority, because when we thrive, the people around us thrive. And when we thrive, we can change the world. And that's what we're here for, right? To change the world, or to change, you know, and guide the little humans that we've brought into the world so that they can have a bigger impact. So on that note, thank you so much for tuning in again to another episode. I hope this one truly served you and is having you look at your own patterns of behavior in a different way. What can you let go of? Where can you create space in your life to have more of what you want and to be that woman that you want to be, I would so deeply appreciate it if you would head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. They are so helpful in terms of this podcast gaining momentum and popularity. I want to get into the earbuds of many more women from around the globe. I've got listeners in Australia and Germany and Canada, all through the United States, Europe. It's phenomenal. And I know that I can have an even bigger reach with your help. So if you would share this episode or another episode that resonated with you, I would be so forever grateful. So until next time, please take good care of you. If you're wanting to get on my schedule, hop over to lisacarpenter.ca/WWM and book your individual coaching call. Like I said, I'm not booking long-term clients until after April, but if you want to secure one of those spaces, you want to get on my schedule for an individual call today.